Welcome in to the Phil's In 5 podcast. I'm your host, Gretzky. It is Friday, July 1st, 2022. Phil's closed out June in a big way, blasting five home runs on their way to a 14-4 rout of the defending champion Atlanta Braves. The Phil's ended up dropping the series 2-1, but salvaged win on getaway day to wrap up a 19-8 month of June. Let's ring the bell. And we'll recap the game. Phillies got off to a sluggish start and took an early 1-0 deficit after Aaron Nola allowed three straight hits in the second inning with none, topping an exit velocity of 82 miles per hour. Really just some poor luck. He struck out the next batter he faced with the bases loaded before inducing what should have been an inning-ending double play that Didi just forgot to make the turn on. A total breakdown on the field, and the Phillies ended up only getting one out, and their first run would come across the plate. And while Aaron Nola was able to limit the damage, it looked like a really poor start for the Phillies, who once again failed to play crisp defense. However, the offense picked it up in the second, and Didi Gregorius played a critical role in getting the rally going, knocking a double over the third base bag. The Phillies racked up six hits and a walk in the second inning, scored seven times to take a firm hold of the game with Nola on the mound. Nick Castellanos finally slugged his first homer of June, while Kyle Schwarber added his 12th bomb of the month, 23 overall on the year. Reese Hoskins, who's also been excellent this month, cranked his 15th long ball of the day, his second in as many games. And the home run derby was not over there, because Derek Hall, making just his second start of his career, launched not one but two deep drives into the seats, his first two career home runs at the major league level after racking up 20 long balls in AAA so far this season. Hall's fourth inning home run left the bat at 108.8 miles per hour, the hardest hit ball of the game. The lefty slugger is not going to get much playing time against left-handed pitching, but he couldn't end up acting as the primary DH against right-handers if he keeps swinging a hot stick. Overall, it was a nice night up and down the lineup. Castellanos finished with two hits, two hard hit balls as well. Bryson Stott went 2-for-3, scored twice, drove in a run. Matt Vierling doubled, walked twice, drove in two, and scored twice. And JT Realmuto collected a couple of base knocks. Aaron Nola did end up allowing four earned runs, so he doesn't get, quote-unquote, the quality start, but he cruised with the big cushion, struck out eight, just one walk on the night, allowed seven hits, including a pair of home runs. But perhaps this is a good time to get those long balls out of the way with such a nice lead. J.R.'s Familia allowed a couple hits, but he pitched a scoreless eighth. And then former number one overall pick Mark Appel tossed his second clean inning of the season. And really a great story for Appel, who struggled early, gave up on baseball, only to resurface and finally make it to the majors in the bullpen role for the Phillies. And since we missed you yesterday, we'll also run back Wednesday's game quickly. The Phillies lost 4-1. Ranger Suarez was okay, but ultimately was knocked out by a two-run home run by Adam Duvall in the seventh. He went 6 2/3 with four runs, seven hits, two walks, seven Ks. Couldn't get quite as many ground balls as he normally does, as he did last time out. The Phillies managed just three hits off a Braves starter, Kyle Wright, with Reese Hoskins' solo home run representing the only Phillies offense. It was a forgettable night. That's why we're going to move on so quickly. And just a quick note, Zach Eflin did get a cortisone injection in his bulky right knee. Hopefully this will speed along his recovery process. We're looking at him coming back probably after the All-Star break, hopefully soon after. Bailey Falter will step into the rotation on Friday night, and for hopefully as long as Eflin needs a look around the NL East. The Braves won 2-3 against the Phillies, of course, and they will head to Great American Small Park for a three-game series against the Reds. With the way the Braves are swinging the bat and how they like to go deep, the balls will be flying out this weekend in Cincinnati. Watch out, Reds pitching. You are about to get assaulted by one of the hottest lineups and one of the most powerful lineups in the league. The Nationals and the Marlins will meet for a four-game series in D.C. over the holiday weekend that wraps around to Monday, so I'm sure there's going to be some great fireworks at that one in D.C. The Nats come in after winning 2-3 against the Reds. They've won 6-9 overall. The Marlins were off Thursday. They lost 2-3 to St. Louis. early this week. The Mets welcome the Rangers. They're looking to snap a three-game skid. They lost their last game of the series to the Marlins, and then they just dropped two to get swept in the two-game short series by Houston. So the Braves are inching a little closer. Phil's still sitting a little further back in third place. Our key question of the day: can the Phillies offense keep swinging it like it's June? It's July 1, and that's a scary thing around here. Kyle Schwarber has owned June for the past few years and was just awesome this month. Batted .272 with a .680 slugging percentage. Since 2019, he's slugging over .700 in the month of June. Amazing. This particular June, he scored 27 times, drove in 27 runs while slugging 12 homers and moving him up to the top of the National League leaderboard in home runs. That all overshadowed Rhys Hoskins, who has turned his season around with an excellent month, slash .306 with a .414 on base and a .612 slugging of his own, 7 home runs to his name. We also saw Matt Vierling break out towards the end of the month after being recalled, a .313 average over 17 games. And I guess while we're talking about breaks, it's hard not to mention Bryce Harper, who will miss all of the month of July. But before he suffered that broken left thumb, Bryce was truly magnificent when on the field in June. He batted .359 with a .455 on-base percentage. The top three in the Phil's order, just getting on base almost every day, hitting for power almost every day, led this team to one of their best months in franchise history. Up next, Phil's will look to keep that momentum rolling. A three-game series with the Cardinals, who are 43-35. The Cardinals are 2.5 games up on the Phil's for the third wild card spot. They are currently in their own division in second place. Cards rank 7th in runs per game, 8th in team ERA at .377. Very balanced team. They feature a very balanced lineup from top to bottom, led by MVP candidate Paul Goldschmidt, who's racked up 19 homers, slashing .342, .424, .630 on the season. Tommy Edman, Nolan Arenado have also been excellent, and they have a bunch of role players: Brandon Donovan, Harrison Bader, rookie Juan Yepes, all bringing value. On the pitching side, 40-year-old Adam Wainwright leads the rotation, and the Cards have a really strong combination in the back end of the bullpen. Ryan Helsley and Giovanni Gallegos both can be interchangeable in the closer role, the setup role. Really, really good pitchers. The Cards are running hot right now as well. 5 bats, Goldschmidt, Arenado, Dylan Carlson, and Brandon Donovan and Juan Yepes all posting a WRC over 118 in the past 10 games. On Friday night, it's going to be Bailey Falter versus Miles Mikolas. Mikolas is 5-5 on the year, 2.57 ERA, 1.07 whip. He throws 4 pitches, which leads with the slider, and then he has a 4-seamer as a sinker that he leans on pretty evenly. The 4-seamer gets whiffs as well as the slider, and he's got a good 46% ground ball rate on the sinker. Mikolas has gone 4 straight starts, allowing 2 earned runs or fewer and 6-plus innings in each of it, so he's on a bit of a roll. Saturday, Kyle Gibson gets on the mound versus Matthew Liberatore, who will make his 5th start of the season. The young righty has been a bit up and down. He's coming off 5 scoreless innings pitched against Pittsburgh. Still, the Phillies should feast on the young starting pitcher. And then Sunday, Zach Wheeler versus Adam Wainwright, ace versus ace. Wainwright is just ageless, 40 years old. He's got a .307 ERA and a .125 whip, and his average fastball velocity sits at just 88.7 miles per hour. Wainwright does not have the velocity that he once does, but still manages to get it done. A wily vet in the mold of Jamie Moyer, where he just has that location and control and knows exactly what he's doing every time he gets up on the mound. Wainwright has crushed the Phillies over and over and over again in the past, so hopefully they can finally break through. At least they're going to have Zach Wheeler on the mound on Sunday, so 3-game set against the Cards. This is going to be a very important series as we head in to the holiday weekend. And our final thought of the day: happy Bobby Bonilla Day, July 1st. The former slugger gets a nod every year as he collects close to $1.2 million check from the Mets every July 1, thanks to a ridiculous deferred money contract buyout dating back to 2000. Bonilla actually gets these payments since 2011, and then will go every year until 2035. And interestingly, it's much less discussed, but Bobby Bo also gets $500K per year from the Orioles as part of another deferred money contract. Some other former stars, Manny Ramirez, Brett Saberhagen, Ken Griffey Jr., and Todd Helton all also get the annual payout. But Bobby Bowe is definitely the one that baseball fans know. The Mets just pay him out every year. And he's going to be joined this year as Max Scherzer, when he signed that huge contract for the Nats several years ago, deferred a bunch of that money. So Scherzer's going to join them as a big winner in the deferred money payments. He's going to get $15 million every single year beginning this year until 2027 from the Nats. And then the Dodgers have to pick up the final year of that $15 million payment in 2028. It's going to be a good time. So even if Scherzer is on the DL, he does seem like he's getting back very soon, but he's getting paid by the Nationals to pitch for the Mets. A very funny and interesting situation there. And I guess it's just to say I must have missed my calling as an elite baseball superstar, because it would be quite nice. Instead, it's payday for me, and I will have to settle for my four-figure check and try and make it stretch through the month. All right, that's all the time we got here today for you on the Phils in 5 podcast. I hope everyone has a great holiday weekend. Be safe out there. Enjoy your 4th of July holiday. We will be back with you on Monday to recap the weekend and look ahead next week. Go Phils.